Video, Mr. Pitzer is present, I'm present, a quorum's present. Mr. Glasscock, you want to get us started?
Sure will. Thank you, Mayor. A couple of things right off the bat. I would like to ask for a two-hour pre-council on May 18th, if that's okay to talk about the FY 21 budget, kind of get everybody's consensus on that.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, certainly.
So the other question would be is, do you want me to bring in dinner for that night, or do you want to forego? It would be a box lunch, basically, because we would be doing dishes.
Well, you don't need to have it delivered to my house. I'll find something around here.
I just want to give everybody the option.
Not on my account either, right? I don't.
Those present?
I would. That sometimes is the only time I have to eat. If you want to do it, if okay. Not, I'm a big boy and right. Take care of myself.
All right. We'll probably have a few box lunches then. Second thing that I have, I know you all tabled short-term rental a while back to the first meeting in June. And so, you know, I dynamics has changed a little bit since then. I wanted you to be aware that was coming up. We would like to put something maybe on the next agenda that would tell people if that's going to get pushed some. Do you all need any direction from us on that, or what would be your preference?
Mr. Scala.
Yeah, just a question. I know we did postpone that for a while, and as you mentioned, there are this new predicament, and some of the groups that were supposedly going to work on this may have also been interrupted. So I don't know, is there any new information that has come down the pike from any of these groups, or are we just going to take this up supposedly at a pre-assigned time to review this without any further discussion, or how's that going to work?
Well, I thought y'all had asked the Planning and Zoning Commission to kind of go back and kind of refresh or look or whatever. I know they probably haven't had meetings either, and so I'm assuming we probably ought to just, one, table it till another date, and I'll get you a time that's good for staff, or two, we could just pull it, and then we'll put it back on when you all think it's appropriate to put on again. There's four bills that go with that, correct, Sheila?
There are four bills that were tabled, but one was an administrative delay, I believe, and that one needs to be redone for whatever time it's in effect again. So that one should probably be just go away unless you pass everything on June 1st. Even that would have to be amended at that point, I think, because it had dates in it that might not be correct anymore.
Right. The administrative delay was to authorize staff to delay in enforcing the current ordinances that would, in fact, prohibit short-term rentals. So I think we would need, if staff is going to continue not to enforce our existing ordinances, we would need for that particular ordinance to be renewed.
Mr. Scala, the mayor isn't here, so I'm assuming you're the pro tem.
Okay. Well, I'll recognize myself then. Just for a question, and that is, I'm okay with that. I'm okay with either way you want to go with that. But I assume that the short-term rental market has also significantly taken or is reacting to this. Yeah. New dilemma we're in, and I'd be a little bit reluctant to proceed without any further action on the planning and zoning, and without any further notice with the public. So I'm in favor of postponing this until such time that we can regroup and make sure that there's a very thorough and robust discussion of this important issue.
Yeah, I agree with that. Maybe we could have it on our agenda for that meeting, and then we can defeat the one that needs to be defeated or pull it, and then table the others until some other later date. And if you have an update at that time on any new information that we need to discuss, we can incorporate that into whatever we want to recommend, whether to kick it back to P&Z or just push it to a later date in the summer.
Okay.
Yeah, I just don't want to all of those are the good ideas. I just don't want to. I don't want to put this on the agenda, and we run up against some sort of a issue with respect to tabling it a number of times to a particular date and so on. Whatever is workable is fine with me, and these suggestions are certainly fine with me as well, Mr. Thames.
Yeah, I agree with everything that's been said. Clearly, there's no sense in proceeding with the discussion right now. The Planning and Zoning Commission hasn't had the chance to do the work we asked them to do. And the whole environment has changed. You know, I don't know that Airbnb is going to even be a thing after, you know, when things start coming back. I did hear the CEO of Airbnb, you know, talking about trying to impose, you know, days between guest stays and cleaning protocols and so on, but it may look very different.
I think what I might do is just ask Mr. Zinner to meet with the Planning and Zoning Commission, ask them their preference on how to move forward, and kind of give you their sense of how they think they could handle this, if that's okay.
Sounds good to me.
Okay. Okay, so I'm going to introduce Matthew Liu. We're going to talk about the FY 2020 budget and the issues that we see going forward. The FY 2020 budget is the current budget, so we'll talk about that for the duration, I believe. Matthew?
How's everyone doing? I did want to introduce Kyle Riemann. He's our new budget officer, so he's been with us about a month or so now, and I think we're getting some good information from him. He comes from the state, where he worked for the Joint Committee on Legislation and Research, but he also worked in House Appropriations and Budget and Planning.
So. Very good. PowerPoint first.
Yes, please. Okay, so we'd like to update the council on what staff is doing to combat the assumed decrease in revenue for the remainder of the fiscal year 2020 due to the COVID-19 pandemic. We are assuming a 7.3% reduction in revenue. This breaks down to $2.3 million reduction in sales tax, $200,000 reduction in license and permitting, and that's mostly due to the delay in receipts because of the renewal extension we passed a few council members meetings ago. $380,000 reduction in fines, $700,000 reduction in fees and service charges, $530,000 reduction in investment revenue, $360,000 in miscellaneous revenue, and then a $2.2 million reduction in other local taxes, which include cigarette, gas, motor vehicle, and other gross receipt taxes like telecommunications and cable TV. At this time, we are assuming that intergovernmental transfers and revenues from governmental units will be flat, but revenue from other governmental units is a grant-based revenue, so it could possibly go up during this time. At the same time, transfers, which include pilot payments, could go down as we receive less revenue for the utilities. We're looking at the actuals for property tax that came in on that are in through March 30th are actually higher than the budgeted amount, so we are doing good in that space, but the bulk of that money has already been received. Here's what the estimated revenue numbers look like. I do want to point out the other local taxes. This is a revenue source that we may not see return once all this is over due to steep decline in telecommunication and cable TV gross receipts. as well as the state pushing for no franchise fees on the first $20 of the bill. So, I mean, we could see a deep hit if that bill is passed. Here's what the This is what the fiscal year 20 actuals look like. This slide was updated, so if anybody's looking at something other than what's on the screen, you might have some different numbers. It's updated through March 31st, and we do have the month closed, so these are good numbers, firm numbers right now.
Now, you haven't seen any sales tax numbers since this crisis started. Is that right?
We received the sales tax for February, but we haven't seen the March yet. March should come this week, and I'll update you guys. And if you want me to put something together like this once a month, I can do that, too, to kind of update you on where we are.
Might be helpful. How about the pilot numbers? Have you had... How recent are those?
Pilot is up to date now, and then as you can see, they are down a little bit
through
April, March. Yeah, this is all 6 month data.
Okay.
We do have some data for April, but we haven't even begun to close, so it's a little sparse. So I didn't want to include that.
And Mr. Thomas.
Matthew, the FY20 budget, that's for the full 12 months, is it? And the
yes.
FY20 actuals is through the first 6 months?
Yes.
So in the first 6 months, we've collected more in property tax than we budgeted for the whole year?
That's common because you receive the bulk of your property tax in January.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah.
Got it.
So
thank you.
So you receive it basically all at one time.
One other question, and that is, there was some, I thought I saw a notice that there was going to be some numbers that would come in on Thursday. What are those numbers, and are they significant to our decision-making process here?
We may get sales tax. Are you talking about enough money from the state?
I think he's talking about quarterly sales tax numbers.
The sales tax
right.
numbers?
Yeah.
Yeah, so we should get sales tax numbers in this week. And then we will look at them and try to see what we can do to project out numbers, at least for April.
Thank you.
Okay. Okay. I think Tim Teddy, you had a question about the revenue under, what was it? License and permits, and that's mostly business license revenue. So your revenue is falling under fees for service and charges. Okay. And so to combat the anticipated decrease in revenue, staff has proposed a 7% cut to spending. Majority of this cut came from personnel, which we had 153 vacant positions as of April 16. There was a hiring freeze put in place as well. So I think with those two combined efforts, we should be okay with employees without having to do anything else. Department directors proposed $337,000 in cuts to supplies and materials, $130,000 in training and travel, $442,000 in intergovernmental charges were cut as well as a result of IT reducing their budget by $1.1 million.
So tell me, how did that, I'm sorry to interrupt you.
Go ahead.
How does that... It seems like we would be consuming more IT services and those essential functions between that are funded by the intergovernmental transfers, legal, et cetera, have continued throughout this. Where did that reduction come from, or where will it come from?
So IT reduced their budget by $1.1 million, and so that enabled us to reduce G&A fees Basically for a month, we won't charge GNA fees for about a month and a half, almost 2 months. So did you want a breakdown of what IT? Okay.
Yeah.
Yep. So that's where that change came. And so that the intergovernmental charges are going to be down through all the departments now because of that.
Okay.
There was 344,000 cuts in contracted services, and then 800,000 in capital purchases, which was 14 police vehicles and one truck for public works.
So is that on the personnel side? Are you assuming the hiring freeze for the rest of the fiscal year?
Yes.
And are you assuming any additional vacancies between now and then?
No, it's not assuming it. But what is put into that number is hiring for essential positions. So there is some room for hiring in there as well.
Do you know how many of those?
Police officers and those types of things. CDL drivers we're still hiring for.
So that 153, do you know how many you would consider essential?
I don't remember.
Yeah, I'm not. It's like 50-something, I want to say.
Yep. Do you remember, Mark Grace?
Right. Yeah. Yep.
About a third of them.
Okay. So here's what the proposed adjustments look like next to the budgeted 2020 numbers. As you can see, we had budgeted a deficit of $4.8 million for 2020. And that 4.8 was made up of 2.1 for police and fire pay plan cost, 1.5 million for prior general fund savings that council added to department budgets in 2020, and then 63,000 for the local match needed for three grant funded firefighters. That's what that 4.8. So with the proposed.
You're not changing the grant-funded firefighters?
No, no. Okay.
That was the fires, Nash, the federal grant.
Yeah, you lose that money if you, you can't cut those out. Yeah, but what we did was we tried to keep stay on that same line of the expending that $4 million above revenues. Here are the fiscal year-to-date numbers as of March 31st. At this time, revenues are $3.4 million above expenditures. But please keep in mind that 30% of all general fund expenditures come in the fourth quarter, so that'll be July through September. We'll try to keep those down, but that's just the trend that we see. As of April 29th, the city has a little over $1 million in personnel costs and 55,000 in operating costs in munis. I believe that these are not all the operating costs that we have, and this number will probably be updated in the near future. We're looking to try to make sure that we have all costs associated with COVID-19 in. And then again, on Wednesday, I think the state is expecting 21.17 million. And so I would expect that we would see some portion of that money as well.
So let's back up to this for a minute. And I don't know if you can answer this or maybe Steve Sapp. With our transparency portal, mm-hmm. is there a way to tag all of these expenses on the transparency portal so that people can go online and see all of the COVID-related expenses that we're seeing?
We are working on that. We're trying to get a model to put on. We've been working with IT.
Okay.
So, IT and Steve's group as well.
How close do you think we're at on that?
I'm not sure.
Sorry.
Steve
Sapp.
Do you know anything on the update on the
transparency portal?
Transparency, getting the COVID numbers up.
Try to do that. Remember,
mm-hmm.
We were going to do a static PDF report, and as soon as we get that report, then it'll be posted to the Tyler Transparency module.
Got it. So it wouldn't be real time every day, but every week we could at least update that.
Yes, it'll be updated every Friday, the same as the site is, Mayor.
Good. Thank you. Did you have another slide after this?
No, I didn't.
Okay, so let's talk about that CARES Act funding. Would you be the best person to do that, or
that's
Kyle?
Absolutely. He'll be our expert in that place.
Are there any questions for Mr. Liu before he steps away on the finance side?
Carl's got some.
Oh, Mr. Scala.
Yeah, I was just going to ask about a few things related to CARES that I had some input from on a national scale from. But I'll, if that's what the discussion is going to get into, I'll wait until we start discussing that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Well done. Thank you.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you.
Good. Welcome to the City of Columbia.
Yeah, appreciate it.
How long have you been with us? 2 weeks?
About a month.
About a month.
The 6th was my first day.
Yeah, it was better before you got here.
It's been great
from
so
far. From a budget perspective.
That depends on your perspective.
Yeah, you must like a challenge.
I do.
I understand you've been on loan to the state, and I appreciate your double duty. As they sort through the federal funding and your expertise that you bring to this challenge as well.
Yeah, thank you. That ended on the 30th, but
yeah. Tell me, do you want to kind of walk through where we're at with respect to the CARES money? It's my understanding that the state, at least through this allocation, has received $520 million to be distributed to local governments, tribal, et cetera. And they chose to distribute that money on a per capita distribution. And because of that, Boone County will get about $21,720,000 and change. What else can you tell me about that?
So as part of the CARES Act, we distributed the money to all the states based off of a 2019 per capita basis. So the state portion of that was about $2.4 billion. Jackson County and St. Louis County applied for the funding outside because they met criteria separate.
500,000 people or more.
Correct.
Okay.
So that left $2,883 million, that was left to be distributed to the remaining counties.
Okay.
And they were split up using the 2019 per capita estimate. So that brought $21.17 million to Boone because of funding that was set aside in the supplemental bill that they passed, which was House Bill 14, which required 25% of it to be distributed within 10 days of receipt. So there's not a lot of guidance yet. The guidance came out on April 22nd for how this can be spent, and we're still kind of working through it.
So has that 25% pass-through been met by them distributing it to the counties, or is the county under, are not specifically Boone County, but are counties in general under the same distribution method in terms of getting the money out as quickly as possible?
So the law that was passed was a state law. So that was an obligation that was up to them. So basically, the feds just let the states determine the distribution, and the states have let the counties determine the distribution and have not provided any specific guidance at this point as to how fast they need to distribute it, or if they need to distribute it, or how they need to allocate it, unfortunately.
In my conversations with leaders at the governor's office, the state treasurer's office, state senator, state rep, they all seem to indicate that this money should be distributed with that same per capita distribution. You've been in the task force hearings on that. Can you tell us anything about your discussion there?
I would say the majority intent of the General Assembly was to basically say, yes, let's get to the counties to allow them to distribute it either on a per capita or a similar basis to the political subdivisions that do not have dedicated sources that are coming through the other parts of the CARES Act, such as airports, hospitals, higher ed, and other areas. So That was, I think, the intent. That's not specifically what was put into law. But I can tell you that's something, again, they're trying to kind of work through because of how fast they're moving.
What's your sense on the timing? Because I've heard Wednesday that the money could be distributed to counties as quickly as Wednesday.
Yeah, Boone County did. They had to submit a certification form signed by the presiding commissioner. They did, so they should get their funding on Wednesday. As far as what they have to do from there, that's kind of up to the county at this point.
You know what other counties are doing in terms of how they're distributing the money?
I would say some counties, no, I don't. I think there's a lot of discussion going on with a lot of cities right now, obviously, between the counties and cities. There's definitely some counties that are saying maybe they don't want it. They just don't want to deal with it. I've heard that side of things. So I can tell you that in terms of trying to find expenditures, that's kind of the main focus that I feel like they should be having right now, because the expenditures are allowed through March through December of this year. It's very clear in the CARES Act, and it's for direct COVID-related expenditures. So they give about 4 pages of guidance, and I can assure you, like, I'm sure there are ways that we can find ways to spend any kind of funding that we receive, but we want to make sure, and they need to make sure that they are accounted for properly and they qualify under the CARES Act.
Right. Mr. Scali, you had some insight you wanted to share.
I just had a question. You mentioned some of the specific categories, one of them including airports. There was recently an article, a published article, that was suggesting that, and I'm not trying to pick on any particular town, but in this case, it happened to be Cape Girardeau and Cape Girardeau's airport, which has a fraction of the flights that we do in our airport, and certainly the fraction of the flights in St. Louis and Kansas City. And yet that city received, according to this report, somewhere in the neighborhood of $17+ million, and Columbia received about $1 million more, and St. Louis about $1 million more than that, and Kansas City about $1 million more than that. I was recently on a phone conversation, a conference call with National League of Cities with respect to the Racial Equity Council that I serve on. And I asked them about this question in terms of equity. It was coming up in terms of equity. And one of the experts there was suggesting that there was some limitation that could not exceed a number that was in the realm of about $4 million for any particular airport. Do you know anything about this potential controversy and whether or not whether it is a controversy and whether any of that was true and what some of the issues are surrounding it?
Unfortunately, I do not know any of the specifics with the FAA portion of the CARES Act distribution, besides what little we have kind of talked about in regards to our airport. But I'm happy to kind of look into it more and see what we can find out.
Yeah, I'd appreciate that. Thank you.
Mr. Scull, I believe, Stacy Button probably knows a little bit about it. I think the way she described it to me is the allotment was based on our program of FY18.
It was our 2018 capital improvements budget, we did a lot of work.
Our budget, which we had a lot of work that year. Cape had a lot of work that year. Joplin and those airports did not, so they didn't fare as well. And so I'll let Stacy comment if that's not accurate.
But that's a pretty huge disparity given that.
We had a lot of work going.
There is a formula that created the calculations for each of the airports across the state and the nation. It is based on 2018 capital projects, debt, and emplacements. Again, they haven't released the exact calculation or how that's formulated, but that is our understanding based on 2018 figures they have. So we did receive an allotment of up to $18.7 million. And we did apply for the first application, which is reimbursement for operating expenses, and received confirmation actually last week that we'll receive $8 million towards operating expenses over the next 4 years. the remaining balance as part of the second application process. And so that will be for development costs, and as that begins to unfold in the coming months, we'll apply for that as well.
Thank you. Mr. Ryman, did you have any other comments? Are there any questions for Mr. Ryman? He's our new budget director.
I had a couple.
Mr. Pitzer, sorry, I didn't see you.
So are you expecting the state to issue any additional guidance on how those funds should be distributed?
I would say that they were going to pass any federal guidance that comes out and have been trying to work with the different associations, like national associations, for guidance in general. But as in terms of passing a law or administrative rule, I don't think there's been any discussion at this point.
And are those funds restricted to political subdivisions within those counties or municipalities or other government functions?
The guidance is, it restricts it to direct COVID-related expenditures that impact the state and local government, which can include assistance to the public, which may include businesses or individuals, but they give some kind of framework of what that means. So you can't duplicate any program that is being covered under the CARES Act. So for example, like if we wanted to do our own SBA loan, that would not be allowable expense because they have an SBA loan process. But if we wanted to do something different, that somehow went to, you know, schools or cities or whatever, or businesses that wasn't covered under any part of the CARES Act, and we could say it fell within the guidance with that is a direct COVID-related expenditure, they would allow that.
And then, I don't know if this is a question for you or maybe somebody else, but like that $1 million in personnel costs that we had on an earlier slide for COVID-related expenditures. So would that include, like, you know, everything that the health department is spending? You know, if they're, you know, spending 100% on COVID now, or is that amounts above and beyond just the dollar amount that was budgeted previously?
That amount is based on the some of the COVID leave that the city gave to people, and also work related. People who were working during the time of the emergency as well.
So, yes, I believe the health department would be charging the COVID-19, correct?
Yeah, in whatever they're doing, yes.
Okay. All right, thanks.
Any other questions about CARES Act? So I have a letter drafted that I've distributed to council that I would like to ask us to take a unanimous position and send to the Boone County Commission asking them to distribute the county's portion of that Federal CARES Act money proportionate to the population of the city of Columbia and frankly all incorporated areas in Boone County. That's the same method that the federal government used to distribute to Missouri. It's the same method that Missouri used to distribute to the county. And I think it's the most transparent, immediate, and expedient way to get this money in the hands of those that are expending the resources for it. If you look at the million-plus dollars that we've spent just in the month of April, this money is supposed to last us until December of 2020. And I think we have to acknowledge that COVID is not going away anytime soon. I also looked at the number of, I looked at our emergency management plan, and a significant number of those essential functions are being fulfilled by city employees. That's just not those city employees, it's all of their direct reports for each of those issues with respect to the command staff, the operations chief, the logistics chief, the joint information, supervising all the PIOs, the mass care and human services, the housing, the economic recovery portion of this. I mean, Columbia is bearing a significant portion of the county's response to this effort, and I think it's important, as we have done with the county beginning 6 weeks ago, that we speak with a united voice on this. And I don't know if everyone's had a chance to review that letter, but if you want comments on it, I think time is of the essence in terms of our actions to that.
I'm supportive of moving forward with the letter. I think it's well drafted and your points are important ones. Thank you.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you, Mr. Ruffin. Mr. Scala.
Yes, I agree. I took a look at the letter. It seems like the most reasonable and certainly the most equitable way to move forward. Is that, will this require any sort of a motion or any of the rest of that?
Let's see where we are with this. Mr. Thomas, have you had a chance to look at the letter?
Yeah, I read the letter. I agree. I'm happy to sign it.
Thank you. Dr. Peters.
Yes, I read the first letter. Did I see an updated letter, though?
Maybe 15 minutes ago, I sent you a revised, and the only thing that I added was Mr. Pitzer smoothed out some of my clunky grammar in the next to the last paragraph, and then I added the detail of the specific ESFs, essential functions associated with our response in the first paragraph on the second page.
Okay. Then yes, I'm supportive of that.
Thank you. I'm happy to do a motion if you want. I think the letter speaks for itself.
Just do it. Is it signed by, will it be signed by all of us or just you in particular?
I'll get the physical signatures here, and I think the city clerk also needs your signature on some other items tomorrow.
Right, I heard about that. I'll talk to her.
That she could collect. Yep. Thank you. Anything else we want to discuss from a budget, pre-council response? Coronavirus or otherwise?
Well, I just a comment. I mean, I take it this is kind of a moving target because we don't exactly know where we're going and we're in kind of uncharted territory. And this 7% number that we were talking about is based on where we are so far, and that I would take it as subject to change depending on how the circumstances change.
But well, I think it's. And I agree. And to your point, I mean, I think that's one of the reasons why a per capita distribution of the of these funds are essential. I mean, we need to have a predictable number. Our budget cycle is going, not only do we need to make cuts in this current cycle, but our new budget cycle is going to start, you know, in the next 60 days. And that's a much different process than what the county uses to budget, not to mention a much different calendar year, fiscal year, than what the county uses. So I think that's one of the reasons why we need to move quickly on this, and so should the county. Mr. Pitzer.
Yeah, so I mean, I agree that this probably is going to be a moving target, and we really don't have a lot of real good information right now in terms of what our revenue is going to look like. But it could be, you know, a pretty dire situation. And we're going to start talking about the next budget here coming up at the next meeting. And I, you know, so hopefully we'll be getting some additional information. But I think it's really going to be incumbent upon us to, you know, make sure that we're, you know, really sticking to what is, you know, absolutely critical in terms of spending going forward. And, you know, I'm glad that you're, you know, filling those essential positions, you know, but I think we just have to make sure that we're, you know, restricting that spending to, you know, what is absolutely critical until we get a really good sense of what's going on here. Because I, frankly, nobody knows, and this is an unprecedented situation that could lead to some unprecedented budget figures going forward, and we all need to be ready for that.
Thank you. Any other comments while we're in pre-council? We are going to continue to use this feed. I don't know, Jeff, do we need to? We're going to take a hard break so we can reset the stage, so to speak.
But a break, I can kill the screens.
Very good. We'll stand at ease for the next, or we'll adjourn the pre-council and then reconvene at 7 o'clock.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.